And always a joy to be here at the home church. And we love this place and thank God for his presence. There's so many places that I go that you don't feel the presence of God. And so we do not know how blessed we are. Amen. And we appreciate that. Revelation chapter 5. And thank God for the blood. I went to the doctor on May and she told me that I needed to walk about 30 minutes a day. So I am caught up for a month and a half. Amen. And we have walked I don't know how many miles and ran across bridges and made it all in one piece. Praise God for that. And I'm not going to lie to you. I slept really good last night. And so I'm grateful for that. But I thought about we were staying in a little town called Geneva, Ohio, in just about 40 minutes from where we used to live above an old bar where Mo Daddy got saved. And so it took me back down a little trip of memory lane. And when we were going by one highway, I told the preacher that's where Mo Church was that I grew up in, called the Cleveland Baptist Temple. And so I thank God for the blood. I thank him for his grace. I thank God that I'm not there anymore. I could be there in Ohio drunk like my daddy. And but thank God I'm preaching the word of God. And God changed my life. And I'm grateful for that. And I want to say hallelujah. Bless his holy name. I'm glad God can take a man and change him. He can take him out of the mire and put him in the choir. And I say hallelujah. I feel pretty good this morning that I'm not a drunk there in Cleveland, Ohio. But I'm preaching, thank God, in Rossville, Georgia. Thank God by his grace. I could be in hell or in jail, but I'm in church this morning. Bless his holy name. I say bless his holy name. I say bless his holy name. Amen. What a God. What a Savior. Thank God. I'm glad that it's real. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, that it's real. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can preach or not, but anyway, I thank God for his grace. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, we see the Bible said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. If the Lord would help me for a few moments, I want to preach on, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Now we find in verse 9 that he gives the order of the song. He said it's a new song. You know why? Because the theme is of redemption. Just what the preacher was talking about. I'm glad, thank God, this morning I have been redeemed. I'm glad, thank God, hallelujah, for the blood of the Lamb. Then he talked about the occasion for the song of being redeemed. Our Bible gives us two or three definitions about being redeemed. And can I say, the first one means to go to the slave market and to purchase. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came out of the slave market of sin and he purchased you and I. And I'm grateful for that this morning. And the other definition means not only to buy, but thank God, to purchase, but never to be sold again. I'm glad I got eternal life. I'm glad, thank God, that you and I don't have to worry about the devil will never be our father anymore. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus is my father. And then we see the one who the song is sung about. They said in verse 9, thou art worthy. I'm glad, thank God, that he is worthy. Amen. You see, that Old Testament lamb, it had to be approved by God. Can I say this morning, I thank God that Jesus was not only without spot and without blemish, he still is and he always will be. Our world tries to taint his character, but I got news for you. He's holy, righteous, spotless Lamb of God. I'm grateful that he has who he is and the righteousness that he has. The world can say what they want to, but they'll not change who he is. Amen. Amen and amen. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. I had bit my tongue this morning trying to eat. Amen. And so it hadn't stopped bleeding. So I'm all right. I'm not dying. I don't have cancer, far as I know. And so it'll be all right. Amen. If I ruin the shirt, I'll get another one. Praise God. I'm not going to let the devil. I preached on him all week. And he's a rascal. He don't like to be exposed. I prayed several weeks that God would give us traveling mercies and he watched over us, because that rascal don't like when you expose him. I've got news for him. He's going to burn in a lake of fire one day, and I'm going to shout the victory. Amen. I bless his holy name for who he is. I'm going to give you three things and we'll go to the house. Number one, we find he is worthy because of his condescension. You'll find in Philippians he talks about, let's go there if you will, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad, thank God, there was an emptiness there, Brother Sam. The God of heaven, he set some things aside when he came as a little boy. Thank God. I'm glad. Listen, he wasn't looking for any popularity. He wasn't looking for, listen, no position. Brother Craig, he said, I didn't come that you might minister unto me. I came to minister unto you. He said, I came to minister unto you. He didn't come for popularity. Matter of fact, when he healed somebody, he would tell them, now don't go tell anybody. But Brother Danny, you know what? They couldn't keep it to themselves. Amen. I'm glad. Listen, I'm telling you, I can't keep it to myself. I'm glad what Jesus did for me. I've got to tell somebody. Thank God for the grace of God and his goodness. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. There was an emptiness there. There was an example, the Bible said, as a servant. He came as a servant when he came into this world, when he was birthed into this world. He came as a little babe in a manger. Yes. Out in the middle of an old cow shed. Yes, sir. Brother Jeff, you know why he did that? He said the common people received him gladly. He came so just little old sinners like you and I would receive him. Hallelujah. Oh, we find he came in his birth. He came in his boyhood. We find an example of a servant. Listen to me, young people. You'll find that when he was 12 years old, his mom and Joseph, they took him to the temple. And the Bible said that they had left and went a day's journey. Well, it took them 2 more days to get back. The Bible said after the third day, they came back, no doubt frantically looking for their son, looking for the Lord Jesus. And you know what? He said, when Mary said, "Son, don't you know we've been sorrowing for you? Me and your father have been sorrowing for thee." And he said, "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" I believe that kind of woke her up. I'd remember in a salutation that she got that he would be the Savior of the world. Amen. But the Bible said, young people, nevertheless, he was subject unto them. What about that? Guess where they found him? Where they left him. Some of you have drifted today. You're not what you used to be. You used to testify. You used to shout. You used to praise God. You used to come to everything you could. And you've drifted. And you've gotten farther back away. And you just come when you just barely get in and hurry up and leave. You know why? Because you've left him somewhere. And you need to go back to where you left him. You need to go back and find out what it is that you allowed into your life. What it is that broke that fellowship. I know when I lose fellowship. You know when you lose fellowship. When you begin to get carnal. And you begin to get cold. You know what it is that you let in your life. You know what it is that you took out of your life. Amen. I'm telling you, you can go back where you found him. They found him in the temple. I'm glad, thank God, when I do get cold and indifferent, I know where to go back and say, "Lord, I let that in my life. I want you to forgive me. I want your fellowship. That means more to me than anything." Amen. Amen. Not only as his boyhood, but also as a beggar. As a beggar. He came with, Brother Sammy, set it all aside. He was the King of glory. When he came to this earth, he said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Preacher, when I sit on my front porch sometime, and I look out over upon Lookout Mountain, and I think about that Jesus didn't have anywhere to lay his head. And I said, "Lord, I don't deserve my home. I don't deserve how good you've been to me." I went home last night and of course, studied a little while and went to bed early. But you know why? I slept good. It was nice and cool in my house. And of course, my wife likes to keep it like a refrigerator, praise God. And we got the fan over the ceiling, a fan by the bed, a fan at the by the door. And son, I pull the covers up and go to sleep. You know why? Because God has been good to us. But Jesus, who had nothing. Listen, he gave it to us who had nothing. Excuse me. He had everything. Set that aside. You and I who had nothing and gave us everything. I'm telling you, you can't beat that. What a God we serve. Amen. We see in his condescension. Not only we see his essence in the likeness of man. We see his effort in the fact that he humbled himself. He became, Brother Lamar, obedient unto death. Obedient unto death, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. You know why? Because life can't die. He is life. He created life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We find in his effort, number two, and I'll hurry through this. We find because not only of his condescension, but he is worthy this morning because of his crucifixion. We know in Luke 23:33, he said there is a place called Calvary. When I think of Calvary, I think of the price. He told us in 1 Corinthians 6:7 that we have been bought with a price. Can I tell you that we are saved this morning not because of ourselves, not because of ourselves. That is why you cannot lose what you did not do for yourself. You did not save yourself. He saved you. If you're struggling and doubting this morning, just remember that that. He said salvation's of the Lord. And what the Lord does, he does forever. And thank God, I'm glad, hallelujah, that I'm saved, saved, saved by God's wonderful book divine. I thank God for his grace. I think of the price. They beat him. They blasphemed him. They blindfolded him. They plucked his beard. Oh, listen, they crowned him with thorns. Why would he do that? Why would he allow that to happen? I'll tell you why. To give you and I, thank God, everlasting life. Brother Grant, had he not come, you'd be on your way to hell tonight. I'd be on my way to hell tonight. But thank God he came. I'm glad he came 2,000 years ago, and he gave himself that I might have everlasting life. I'll never spend one night in the charred walls of the damned because of the grace of God and that he paid the price for me. Amen. And if you're lost, he did it for you. Think of the price. I think of the purging effect concerning our sin. You know, he said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he said unto him that loved us and washed us, hallelujah, from our sins in his own blood. Now, Brother Sam, my wife likes them old agitator wash machines. You know why it's doing? It's loosening the dirt from them blue jeans, especially from them boys get out in the mud, amen. You know what he said? He said, I took your sin and I washed them in my blood and I loosened them from you. Your sins are gone. I'm glad, thank God, my sins have been removed. They, thank God, are gone, never to be remembered no more. He washed my sin away. Brother Cameron, he took them and he washed them in his blood and he loosened them from me. I don't have them anymore. Thank God, they're gone. I said they're gone. I said they're gone. Hallelujah. Amen. They're gone. I think of the purging effect. I think of the permanent effect concerning our redemption. You know what I said in Hebrews 9:12? Have an eternal redemption for us. I think of the propelling effect. Thank God concerning our service. Here's what he said in verse 13. Purge your conscience from dead works. You know what I believe? I believe some people never do anything because they've never been born again. You know what happens when you get saved? You want to do something for God. I was saved, picked up on a bus route. So guess what it did? I became a bus captain, 12 years old. I'm going every Saturday, bus visitation. It don't matter if it's on Christmas, we went every Saturday, regardless. You know what happened? I got born again. And the preacher said the other day, it's hard to find workers, and it's that way everywhere I go. Hard to find workers that want to do something for God. But when we get saved, Brother Lamar, there ought to be a desire to do something for God. Not everybody's the preacher. Not everybody plays an instrument. Not everybody sings a special. But everybody can do something. It might be that you have the ability to come down here and help on the carpet. Amen. Everybody has something that they can do. That's right. That's right. Amen. They have something that they can do. Purge your conscience. Number four, the perfecting effect concerning our worship. Hebrews 10:14. He said, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The propitiating effect concerning our sin or our acceptance. You see, a man's sins have to be removed to be accepted before God. Brother Hayden, that only happens when we get born again. We wash them away in the blood. They are gone. Amen. Gone, gone, gone. Then I want to say lastly, he's worthy because of his coronation. Hallelujah. Because of his coronation. Go back with me to Revelation. Here's what he said in chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, 11. The four and 20 elders fall down before him that is on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were or are and were created. I'm telling you, thank God, he's crowned, Brother Andrew, because of his holiness. You'll find in chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, he talks about the four beasts, how that they are round about the throne, and how that they worship him. Thank God, they give him honor, the Bible said, and glory and thanks. A preacher, I thought about if those creatures could give God thanks, how much more should you and I give him thanks every day we live? Every morning we get up, Brother Graham, we ought to hit our knees and thank God for another night. Thank God for our salvation. Thank God for our family. Thank God for our house we live in. Thank God for the car we drive. Thank God for everything we've got. I'm telling you, he's worthy. And Brother Laddie said a while ago, he is so good and so gracious. I'm telling you, every breath that we have, we ought to bless his name. We ought to thank him. You ought to testify. Some of you might have been a while. It's time to get up and say, I want to thank God. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. He's crowned because of his holiness. He's crowned because of the happiness of those who are falling down before him and worshiping him. Nowhere you find in chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 8, that those 4 and 20 elders and 4 beasts had to, they were commanded to worship. They did it willingly. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when we all get home, those who've all went on before us, Brother Dave Terry, those who went on before us, my dad and others, and Brother Charles and others, and Brother David not too long ago, you know what? When they get into his presence, Brother Sam, they're going to bow before him. Oh, listen, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. He's worthy not only because that he is crowned, not only because of his holiness, but the happiness of those who are doing it, and then also because of his heroism. You know what he said? He said, nobody, there's nobody, nobody here, nobody to take the book and open the book. But Brother Laddie, he said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There is one that has prevailed. Thank God. You know what he did? Jesus, in essence, whipped the devil. And I'm glad he did. What a glad day we're all going to stand in unison and lift our voice when he is bound and thrown into a lake of fire. I'm telling you, thank God. I'm glad, listen. Hey, the devil thought when Jesus stood up or there was on Calvary and he said, it's finished. The devil said, I've got him, I got him. But that wasn't a cry of defeat. That was a cry of victory saying, I've done what I come to do. I have died for humanity. I've shed my precious blood, and now man won't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad, thank God, he got up that third day, rose victorious over the devil, death, hell, and the grave. He is worthy, 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 worthy of our praise. He's worthy because of his condescension. He's worthy because of his crucifixion. He's worthy, thank God, because of his coronation. He's crowned because of his holiness, the happiness, and his heroism. I wish I would have had a little bit more time, but he's worthy this morning. When's the last time you just knelt down before him and thanked him? Let him know that he's worthy. When's the last time you raised your hand and just let him know that he's worthy? A friend of mine had gotten cancer, and doctors told him that there was no way that he was going to make it. He said, I understand that, but you don't know my God. He said, you don't know my God. So Brother Laddie, one day through taking treatments and things, he was sick and he didn't get to go to church. Monday morning was a cancer visit, and everybody in that waiting room had cancer. He was sitting there, and he said, "I got to tell y'all something." He said, "I didn't get to go to church yesterday,
yeah,
and I missed it so much." Hallelujah. And he said, "I want to tell y'all that God has been good to me. Yeah. He's been so good to me.
Yeah.
He has blessed me." And he said, "When long someone started crying, said, you know, God's been good to me too." Then he said, "It wasn't long. Everybody in there's got cancer now." And then the next one, then the next one, and tears started running down their cheeks because somebody wanted to give him praise. Somebody wanted to say, "Lord, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, oh Lord. I'm grateful." Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. You know why I kept preaching? Because he's worthy this morning. He's worthy this morning. He is worthy of our praise. Let's stand if you would, please. Preacher, you come on.